You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd. This week, the New York Times travel section put out a list of the 52 places it suggests you visit in 2017, and one of them is the South Bronx. That story caught our attention because WNYC has been reporting from that community, Mott Haven in particular, as part of a project looking at affordability in New York City neighborhoods. With me is Ed Garcia-Conde, author of the blog Welcome to the Bronx. He's an outspoken advocate for the South Bronx, and it's the neighborhood he calls home. Welcome, Ed.
Thank you for having me.
Ed, what was your reaction when you saw the South Bronx on the New York Times list?
Basically, my first reaction was, here we go again. You know, the New York Times has been pretty much hot on our trail for the last couple of years talking about gentrification. And generally, their spin has been somewhat, you know, they listen to the concerns of the community, but it always seems spin towards the developers. And sure enough, when I clicked on the link, the first thing I noticed is that every business they're talking about is you know, Rubenstein of Somerset Partners, who's trying to build waterfront properties and luxuries. And it was just a little... This little disappointing, I'd say.
The travel editor of the New York Times was on WNYC this morning talking about the 52 places they chose. Here's what she said about number 51, your home, the South Bronx.
The South Bronx outside of New York still has, I think, this reputation of being really challenged. People will still say, make reference to the Bronx is burning, and people who haven't been there for ages don't know what it has to offer.
Now, that's Monica Drake on the Brian Lehrer Show earlier today. The businesses she highlighted in her story are examples of new investments, 60 million tourists coming to New York. This could be a good thing for the neighborhood, this attention, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It could be a great thing for the neighborhood, but the businesses that they're highlighting have zero roots in the Bronx. They're businesses that have been pushed in by Keith Rubenstein of Somerset Partners. All of those businesses have been open from anywhere from 12 months or less, the most recent being Milkburger, although he's not connected to Rubenstein, but still, it's a recent business. So it baffled me that why is the New York Times talking about businesses that don't have these roots, you know, that they have no connection to Bronxites.
And as you say, this isn't really just about this one story, because the South Bronx has been written up in many places as the next hot spot. Is the bigger issue the mindset of deciding when a neighborhood has value and for whom?
That's exactly it. You know, we always ask the question, why now? You know, why did we all of a sudden get a cafe, or why all of a sudden is the city investing in our parks? It's always a question. And some of them are not as clear as others. Some of them are pretty clear because we had an administration from, you know, pretty much from the Koch era up until Bloomberg that didn't care about anything outside of Manhattan. So some of that could be forgiven. But then other things like, you know, paying attention to infrastructure like they're doing on the waterfront for the Harlem River waterfront. Nobody lives there, but the city's investing $200 million in infrastructure. Why aren't we investing the $200 million in our local community? Why, you know, they're putting in a high-speed broadband as part of the package. Why isn't that going into public housing, NYCHA, where most of the people don't have even basic internet services? So again, why, you know, it's always the question why.
So with that context in mind, how do you balance highlighting what's interesting and new and maybe worth checking out in a place that is changing, while also keeping in mind that many people in a neighborhood like the South Bronx may be struggling with those changes?
It's a really tough balance. It's a fine line that I have to walk when I'm doing this. A lot of it has to do with, you know, who is behind the business. That's something that I didn't encounter 5 years ago. 5 years ago, people were just opening up businesses just like anybody else, mom and pop shops.
Is development always bad per se? What's wrong with it? Can it sometimes do good for a neighborhood like the South Bronx, or parts of Brooklyn that have been revitalized, or my old neighborhood, the Lower East Side?
Well, development isn't bad per se. And that's actually, I'm such a staunch, you know, like opponent of gentrification, but people who are also anti-gentrification of the Bronx sometimes have problems with me because I'm not anti-development necessarily. Mm-hmm. I'm just anti-irresponsible development. And for me, irresponsible development is not taking into consideration the existing culture and characteristics of the neighborhood.
For a list of Ed Garcia-Conde's recommendations for local spots in the South Bronx, visit his blog, welcometothebronx.com. And that's the number 2 in the URL. Ed, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.